There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're joined by William Mullally. We've stolen him, or we borrowed him from the ticket, rather. We've decided to come and get your expertise because you've not, obviously this is probably one of the best weeks for you. You get to talk to lots of film stars, you get to see lots of movies, and you've also been in conversation with Michelle McLaren. We'll come back to that, but what's your diff been like so far this year, William?
I'm getting in as many interviews as I possibly can, and not getting in nearly as many movies as I want. Like in previous years, before I had to do all these interviews and all these panels, I could just watch movies all day. Now I can't.
You're in great company because I interviewed Sir Patrick Stewart the other day and he said, the only thing that's bad about Diff for me is that I'm not seeing enough films. So you're in great company there. But what has been some of the highlights for you then so far?
I really loved, as far as the films I've seen, I loved The Square. Yeah. That movie is just a wild ride from start to finish. The Disaster Artist is one of the few movies that made me laugh out loud continually from start to finish. It's really hard to get me to do that now. That movie did it. And The Shape of Water I found really interesting. You know, I think Guillermo del Toro is just a visual filmmaker on par with no one else. Like, he is at the top of his game.
It's really interesting, The Shape of the Water. We talked a lot about that. And it's one of those movies that you look at, but you kind of look at trying to work out exactly where the idea comes from, but you look at it in terms of production design because it is just beautiful to look at, that kind of very dark, murky 50s, 60s, almost McCarthyist feel that it has. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the fact that it's an adult fairy tale puts it in a box that nothing else is in, so it's very hard to process because there's so many pieces that you might expect in a kid's movie, and then very, very adult scenes that you would not want to bring your kids to. There's a lot going on in this film, and it's going to take me maybe another view to understand if I even like it.
But that's the sign of something. We were talking about this a few minutes ago, and having something that's potentially a grower means it's got longevity. It's not something that's an immediate hit that you go walk out of the cinema and forget about. Something that you have to think about. Your mind is still mulling over, for want of a better word. It's something that you're still thinking about after you've left, and that's surely a good sign.
Absolutely. Birdman, I saw at Diff. I saw it and again a month later. I hated it. Terrible movie.
There's no pleasing you, is there, William?
Maybe for a minute. About a month, that's all you get.
What about In Conversation today? You were. Can I bring in the In Conversation that you hosted today? Just talk us through that, because we heard from your guest interviewer yesterday. What did you learn?
I think she is, I mean, with directors, you never really know what you're going to get personality-wise. Mm. You get some, and I'm not going to name names, but you get some people who are just very impossible and very full of themselves. She is completely down to earth. Maybe that's just because she's Canadian, but she's just so generous with her time, with her stories, with her love of the material. She's such a lover of film and a lover of the shows that she's participating in. So as she's worked across Breaking Bad, across Game of Thrones, The Leftovers, Westworld, The Deuce, she has really brought, I think, a personal touch to it while never putting too much in. And I think in the growth of television, when you have directors usually not being able to make a name for herself, it's fantastic that she's been able to become. If I see Michelle McLaren on an episode, I'm going to say, I'm going to have a great time here. And I can't really say that for many other television directors.
And we were talking to her on the program, and she was sort of saying it's maybe something to do with the fact that she's got quite a dark sense of humor and quite a dark way of looking at things, and she thinks that's maybe why she has managed to stand out. You're right, she was sort of mentioning that directors really find it difficult to break out and make a name for themselves, and she's been plugging away at it for a long time. It's not suddenly an overnight success, and she was saying it was working with one of her colleagues on The X-Files, and that was sort of the springboard for it, wasn't it? So she was saying it's difficult to make a name for yourself as a director, maybe even tougher as a woman, but it's something that she's put a lot of time and effort in over an extended period of time.
Yeah, when I grabbed her afterwards, we just sat for an hour talking about her upcoming film coming out in 2019, which she hasn't spoken to anyone about, so I got some interesting tidbits about this film.
And you know, the next natural question for us is, tell us everything that she told you about this film that's coming out in 2019. Is there anything you can say?
Well, she wouldn't name names as far as who's casted, but this is a gigantic book. It's The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna. Yeah. It's a huge hit, beloved, and she wanted to get a big-name French actress, and she said that she did get the actress that she wanted. So that might send your imagination going. That's a scoop from me right now.
An exclusive.
Mm-mm.
It's not bad, but she was really personable. I think, you know, you're talking about Michelle and saying she's warm, she was generous with her time. She came and spoke to us, and she was happy to go into some detail about her experience. And I said, you know, a lot of people have this misconception about directors, that maybe they sit in a director's chair, you know, the ones, they're tall and they've got the canvas at the back and they sit and shout orders. But there's a lot more of a creative process when you take on a project to that, and that's maybe where she's different. She really does put her heart and soul into it.
Yeah, she's focused on character. She's focused on actors. And I think when you have those scenes that she has, those moments of tension on Breaking Bad, when you feel like you can't even watch it, it's because you care so much about the people that are in those scenes. And she's so good at making you care. She has so much heart to put in those stories, and that's why she can pull off those huge action moments.
This is one of the things, isn't it? There are two events that I always think get so much focus, and rightly so they get so much focus here in Dubai. There is, of course, the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, which is really all about storytelling, and there is Dubai International Film Festival, which again is all about storytelling. And it's kind of a... there's always a discovery that you can uncover here, you can unearth here. There's always a hidden gem somewhere. I was talking to, I said to you at the top of the program, Yasmin Shuik, today, and I have kind of this longing now to go and watch the movie when it premieres this evening, because I wouldn't necessarily have considered that. I'm kind of blinded by the blockbusters and the glitz and the glam. But this is a very kind of, not a dark story, that takes place almost exclusively in a cemetery between two people, and it's a love affair that begins in a cemetery. I wouldn't have uncovered that if I hadn't been a diff this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hype cycle with films today ruins so much of what I love about film. You know, because it's basically you're living in a marketing world. You know, you're watching, here's the teaser trailer, here's the teaser for the teaser trailer, and we're having a year of that. We're going to have marketing tours, promotional things. By the time the movie actually comes out, you're exhausted. Like, okay, Star Wars is about to come out, we'll talk about it after the break. But I don't even feel like I need to watch it at this point, because I spent so much time talking and thinking about, oh, there's another Star Wars coming out.
You've heard so much about it. I guess another question that's occurred to me, though, is what are you looking forward to? We've got a few more days left at DIFF. Is there anything that you're going to try and ditch a few interviews for so you can sit down and watch it?
Tonight I'm going to watch Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Martin McDonagh, fantastic playwright and amazing writer-director who did movies like In Bruges. I don't know if you saw In Bruges.
Yes, brilliant.
He brings such an interesting and unique sensibility to his films that I need to see what he does here with Frances McDormand, who's a fantastic actress, as you remember from Fargo.
Okay. So something to look out for.
It really is, isn't it? We are live at Dubai International Film Festival for Drive Live this afternoon. What else is coming up? Because I've been kind of otherwise engaged NLT today.
Well, there was a big screening of Star Wars The Last Jedi, William just mentioned. We will be talking about that later because it's having its Middle East premiere on Wednesday night. It is the closing film. So we're going to be hearing some of the reaction from that film. And as you've mentioned, it is almost like we've watched the film already, because we're hearing what people think of it, some of the main themes, so we'll be returning to that topic shortly.
You're listening to Drive Live,
broadcasting live from the red carpet for the 14th Dubai International Film Festival. Film will find you
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Welcome to Drive Live. It's Tim and NLT on the red carpet. We're joined by William Mullally. He's here to talk to us about DIFF, about the films, but also he's been talking to Michelle McLaren, and she's one of the famous producers, directors brought over by OSN to talk about her work. Now, we did mention that we would talk about Star Wars. It is the closing film here. The big gala preview Wednesday the 13th, 8:15, on this very red carpet. People, well, it's open now, so people are already starting to stream up this red carpet, and they will be doing on Wednesday for that film. There was an LA premiere last night, William, and there's been some reaction to it already in the papers, across social media. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, I have some friends who attended the premieres.
Wow.
They said that this might be the best. It's definitely better than Rogue One. It's better than Episode 7. I don't think it's up to the heights of the Star Wars and the Empire Strikes Back. So I don't know if it's going to meet the expectations of your childhood, but it might meet the expectations of what we have now and of a Rian Johnson film.
Just ask NLT if she's seen the original three Star Wars movies for a moment. Have you seen them?
No.
Did you enjoy the first original three?
Yeah, films? I thought all nine of them, or however many there are,
so you're
fantastic.
You're definitely a Trekkie?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really into that. That's why they sent me to talk to Patrick Stewart, because I could talk about Star Wars and Star Trek forever.
The thing is, the problem with Star Wars, the expectations are so high, and the reviews for this are really good, generally speaking, very positive. But the the bar is the bar too high for a science fiction movie of this nature?
I think it's where the bar is set as far as what they want these movies to be that is a problem for me. Because these movies exist, and these movies make billions and billions and billions of dollars, if we're including everything that goes into these movies, because people just want to feel what they felt when they were kids watching Star Wars again. That you're chasing a nostalgia feeling. You're not chasing something that's moving things forward. And I think the prequels are not good movies, but at least they tried to do something different. They weren't the same sort of movie. The last Star Wars 7, it just hit the same beats of the first Star Wars, and it didn't hit them as well. So if you want to do this right and you want to grab me, which they don't, care about me, they need to do something new and push it forward.
It's almost as though you're joining a club by seeing them. You're part of you're included. That's the feeling I got with Star Wars 7.
I feel excluded.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Did you want to be included, though?
I'm not sure, but the point remains, if you haven't watched any of these films, and if you aren't part of the conversation, you are missing out on something. Here's just a little flavor of the trailer for The Last Jedi.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special.
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
I've
seen this raw strength only.
I've never seen any of the films, but even hearing that music, William, really does bring back sort of a sense of hearing that in childhood and thinking this is a major film, this is something big, and I haven't seen them, but just hearing that, it's such an iconic theme tune that you just sort of, the hairs stand up a little bit on the arms, and it's saying something quite powerful.
Yeah, if you ever want to have the funniest 5 minutes of your life, Google... Or go on YouTube and find the last scene of the original Star Wars with no music. They cut it out. It's the most uncomfortable, weird thing. John Williams brings so much to this story to make you feel like you're in the Star Wars world, and without it, it's really nothing.
Do you know one thing that is true, though? There's nothing like, and I don't care what anybody says, here's the gauntlet. There is nothing like the sound effect that creates the lightsaber in your mind. Is yeah.
It draws you in, doesn't it? I've got to say, I'm a massive Star Wars fan. Have been since I was a child. I really did not enjoy The Force Awakens at all, and I left the cinema that day thinking to myself, I'm going to completely avoid the next two films in this series. But at the same time, when you hear that, when you hear this, you know, the kind of music that you mentioned there, Natalie, and when you read the reviews, it kind of, I'm getting drawn in again. But it's interesting, because I couldn't agree more. You mentioned before The Force Awakens, it was basically a rehash of A New Hope, essentially. I'm hoping that this new one, The Last Jedi, won't be a rehash of Empire Strikes Back, but do you think it will be a bit of a darker film like The Empire Strikes Back was?
Well, I was just speaking to Michelle McLaren, and we were speaking because Rian Johnson directed two of the best episodes of Breaking Bad, apart from his film work, and she is just the biggest fan of him. She thinks that he's just one of the most fantastic directors and really wants to see what he's doing here. I do think Rian Johnson is a person who I do have trust in to do something interesting, to do something different. He has a mind that's not just like a J.J. Abrams, no offense to J.J. if you're listening, that he's just trying to harken back and sell as many action figures as possible. I think Rian, if there's anyone that can do it, it's him.
And I guess for Star Wars fans, this is the long-awaited return of Luke Skywalker. And The Last Jedi, the name in itself, has already caused a bit of a debate with fans. And Rian Johnson was talking about how he came up with the name.
For me, I guess what it comes down to is that first question of what is the deal with Luke Skywalker. And Luke and Rey are kind of the beating heart of the film, I guess, and their relationship. And so The Last Jedi, in all the things that it means, is tied up in their story. And so it was the heart of it. And it's something where, from the very start, even when I was just coming up with the story at the beginning, that title seemed crystal clear to me. So it's always made sense.
So he's someone that you have trust in terms of handling the film. You said you've had friends there. There's been sort of lots of people saying it is a return to the past. It is a triumphant return to Star Wars that people like Danny might have been turned off from.
No, I mean, I think that I don't want it to be I don't want it to try to be a return. I don't want it to try to be that film again. I want this to be something that we've never seen before. And I don't think we're going to get it. Honestly, I'm not. I don't think I'm going to like this movie. But, again, as you were saying, they're going to get my money. They're going to get me in that seat. I'm going to be there.
We'll be annoyed at ourselves afterwards.
Why did I do that again? Yeah.
The thing is, from the early reviews and from what I'm reading, it is slightly darker. I have also read that you have this kind of lonely, peripheral, yet central figure in Luke Skywalker. And Mark Hamill's performance is, from what I'm hearing, tremendous. So that kind of bodes well, I think.
I think the resurgence of Mark Hamill, I mean, I remember in the 90s, it was, you know, oh, yeah, that's the guy. Wasn't he in Star Wars? What's he been up to lately? Since this has happened, I think there's no story that warms my heart more than Mark Hamill is now a number one A-list figure in Hollywood and everywhere because he's such a generous person. He's amazing with fans. Every single person, he takes the time out to do them. There was someone that put up a story about there was a kid that was dying, and he just wanted to meet Luke Skywalker. Not meet Mark Hamill, meet Luke Skywalker. They called up his agent. He said, I don't think he's going to do it, but I'll call him. Immediately, Mark Hamill calls the guy back. He said, I'll be there. He shows up, and he talked to this kid in the hospital bed as Luke Skywalker for an hour.
Amazing.
He's just, I wish him all the best. Absolutely. I want this movie to do well for Mark Hamill.
You can't argue with that. I guess last night, of course, the Rian Johnson did have, you know, as they do at these premieres, had a little chat with the audience beforehand. And he did pay tribute to Carrie Fisher, also saying she would have hated this. She would have hated the fuss, the fact that we're, you know, using this as a tribute to her, which I thought was very nice. But there was also a few side stories. Was it John Boyega, the British actor, who, does he play Finn, I think, in the film? He was travelling and the snow in the UK, so he was struggling to get to LA. So he gets there, and his case doesn't get there. So he turns up to this premiere, one of the biggest premieres he's ever been to in his life, and he has to wear the clothes he arrived in because his luggage got lost on the snow flight. So I think there's still quite a bit of buzz about that because we're getting these small snippets of stories about what happened there last night.
And it's never going to stop because now we're going to get a Obi-Wan Kenobi movie as soon as we're done with this.
Oh, whoopee. Oh, more action figures.
You say that sarcastically. Actually, I've not heard this before, but I'm actually genuinely excited by this one now. Tell me more.
It's called Kenobi.
Nice.
I guess maybe they mean old Ben Kenobi. I don't know, that crazy wizard up there in the cave.
William, we just had a text in for you. Well, I'm hoping you can answer this. It says, hello all. Quick question. What's the difference between a movie director and a movie producer? I've always wondered. So I think that like this person thinks they do the same job. Can you shed any light?
A director is the one running things creatively. They're deciding what we're going to shoot where, how we're going to approach this script, how we're going to bring this story to life. The producer is the person who brings it to life in all the other ways. You know, a lot of times that's finding money, it's finding the right set, it's finding who actors are going to play it. They are the boss on the other side. So it's the creative boss and the business side boss.
Well, hopefully, no name on that one, but hopefully that has answered your question. We're staying with Diff after the break, aren't we, Tim?
There's another question here for you. You probably can't answer this. Just give us a nod. Is the French actress that you mentioned, this secret movie that's coming out in 2019, or secret story about the movie that's coming out, is her first name Isabel, this French actress? Somebody's texting in. You don't have to answer.
Oh, I do. I will not be answering.
We can't hear a nod on the radio, Tim.
We tried. I know, I was just giving him a letter. You know how it is. William Mullally, I think that's all the time we've got now. We've got to go to the news?
Yeah, we've got to go to the news, and we'll be joined by Chris McCarty, who will give us an update on the sport.
William, good to talk to you. Thank you.
See you soon.
Live at Dubai International Film Festival, it's Drive Live.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.